Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus in for Joe Donahue. The 14th annual Kateri Tekakwitha Peace Conference is taking place this Friday and Saturday at the National Kateri Tekakwitha Shrine in Fonda, New York. The conference this year is entitled Crossing the Line, A Call to Revolutionary Love, and we're joined by conference organizers now, John Amadon and Maureen Amand. John, Maureen, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks so much, Ian.
So why Fonda?
Well, I'm going to let John answer that.
Okay, John.
Yeah, originally I was started it trying to close the School of the Americas, and the School of the Americas is a military school now at Fort Benning, Georgia, where people are brought up from Latin America and trained, and they've compiled an infamous record of, because when the graduates of the school went back to their respective countries, they murdered priests and nuns and educators and union organizers and people who attempted to help the poor. And they were also responsible for many coups, overthrowing democratically elected governments. So it compiled this huge, very infamous record, a very murderous record, and so I was working to close the School of the Americas, and most of the victims in Latin America were, many of them were Catholics and many of them were Indians. Mm. So I thought the shrine would be a good place to look for support because it represented to, you know, Catholics and Indians. So that's how it was brought to the Kateri Shrine in Fonda. And Father Kevin Kenny, now deceased and a very warm and loving man, had lived in Guatemala, so he, in the mid-80s when it was particularly violent, and so he knew exactly what I was talking about and how U.S. foreign policy really was very destructive there.
And of course, she's become a saint this year, so a lot more attention will be placed on this area, on the shrine. What's scheduled for this conference?
Well, the conference traditionally begins on Friday evening, but this year we have the privilege of having Bishop Thomas Gumbleton, who's a retired Roman Catholic bishop from Detroit, lead us in a day of reflection. And the title of the day of reflection is Act of Love, the Only Moral Response to War. And Bishop Gumbleton is a noted leader in terms of peace and justice throughout the world, and has tried to lead American bishops towards making statements and taking a powerful stance on war. And even when that's not been possible, he's stood on the line and been arrested numerous times for acts of civil disobedience. And he's traveled the world, especially war-torn regions, witnessing for and fact-finding about the effect of war on human beings. And so at 82, he's a revered spokesman for peace and justice. And we feel really privileged to have him with us. So he'll be leading that day of reflection on Friday, and that will begin at 9:30, and registration will begin at 8:30. And that it's an interfaith day of reflection. And even though, as the bishop says, his grounding is in the gospel, we really see this as a day for anyone who's concerned about and hungering for peace and justice can come to kind of gain strength and be in community around the issues that underlie so many of the disparate issues that that people are working on.
Well, this is the 14th year of the conference. Have things gotten better as far as peace goals in the last, you know, decade and a half?
Well, John, what would you say?
I would say that we are, you know, We keep working for peace and justice because it is absolutely necessary. And while it's easy to take a negative attitude, what's really important is that people get up and do something to improve wherever it is they live. So perhaps things haven't improved, but if people just get up and do something immediately today in their hometown, an act of kindness, taking a stand on an issue that's important to them, we will see improvement readily and rapidly.
And also, in an answer to both the question about the schedule, as well as have things gotten better, I think an answer to our sense of if things have gotten better comes from talking about the next aspect after the day of reflection of the schedule, and that's Friday evening, mm-hmm. Which is the traditional opening of this conference. We are having an activist, James Ricks from Ithaca, whose eloquent statements in a trial that he was participating in as someone who had acted with civil disobedience against drone warfare, is going to be delivering Martin Luther King's Riverside Baptist speech about the Vietnam War, because we feel like that speech encompasses so much of the root causes and the absolute effects on this country's spirit of militarism and war. And things have not gotten better since he delivered that speech. So we're asking the panel who will be coming on Saturday to reflect on that with us. What does that speech speak to about the issues we're confronting today? So that will be Friday evening. That panel will again be present on Saturday for the conference day. And the conference will open again at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday with a keynote address by John Horgan. John Horgan is a science writer, a journalist. I don't think he sees himself as a peace activist per se, but as a human being who's been profoundly interested in why it is that wars continue, and also profoundly concerned about the effects of you know, possible annihilation, species annihilation that comes from war. And so he spent the last decade working on a book, The End of War, mm-hmm. where he surveyed people about their attitudes towards the inevitability of war, and also looked at research, anthropological research, historical research, and so forth, biological research, with the question, is war inevitable? And he's concluded that war is not inevitable, that it is a choice, and like a virus, a meme, an idea that spreads from country to country and generation to generation, but that it can be changed and walked away from. And so with that kind of framework, that kind of provides excuse, I think, for all of us for not working as hard as we can against war and militarism and for justice and peace. He basically, I think, gives us a platform to say there's no excuse for not really doing, as John said, working in our own capacities as hard as we can. And so he will provide the keynote. And then our panel of people who do that, work shoulder to the grindstone full-heartedly for peace and justice, will then speak to the issues. And John might want to tell us about the panel.
Yes, please do. We have Kathy Kelly coming, and Kathy Kelly's the founder, I believe, or co-founder of Voices for Creative Nonviolence, formerly Voices in the Wilderness. She's been nominated 3 times for the Nobel Peace Prize, and truly, if anyone is deserving, she is. She goes to Afghanistan and Pakistan fairly regularly and concerns herself with the issues and with getting to know children and working with the youth there. So we're really delighted to have Kathy Kelly back. She's a brilliant speaker also. And we have David Swanson, and David has recently written a book called War is a Lie, and he's a publicist and a talk radio host and just a person who works tirelessly for peace and justice, and he's coming up. We have Ellen Grady. Originally it was Claire, but now we have Claire's sister, Ellen Grady, and she is a tremendous activist from Ithaca, New York, the upstate anti-drone coalition. She works heavily on trying to eliminate the menace of drone warfare.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but if you want to know all of the speakers and presentations that are coming up this weekend at the 14th annual Kateri Tekeweta Peace Conference, beginning Friday and continuing through the weekend, that's at the National Kateri Tekeweta Shrine in Fonda, New York. You can visit kateripeaceconference.org. That's K-A-T-E-R-I peaceconference.org. Maureen Amand and John Amadon, thank you for coming in and telling us about the conference. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for giving us the time.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.